On that dark and dreary day, God the Father turned away. See the hope of all the ages, silent in the grave.
It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. The sky is dark, but soon another day's dawning. It's not over yet. King Jesus will prevail. Oh yes, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming.
Every day the wicked prosper, good men suffer pain. Satan seems to gain the victory, mocking Jesus' name. Many Christians suffer so, and their tears of sorrow flow. Is the God of all the ages still on heaven's throne?
Oh, yes, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming.
It's coming.
The sky is dark, but soon another day is on. It's not over yet. King Jesus will prevail. Oh yes, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming.
When you come to death's dark valley, feeling pain and loss, just remember Christ your Savior on his rugged cross. Though he died in darkest gloom, Jesus left an empty tomb. Alleluia, alleluia, Christ is coming soon.
It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. The sky is dark, but soon another day is on. It's not over yet. King Jesus will prevail. Oh yes, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. The sky is dark, but soon another day is on. And it's not over yet. King Jesus will prevail. Oh yes, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. The sky is dark, but soon another day is dawning. It's not over yet. King Jesus will prevail. Oh yes, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Oh yes, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming.
We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout to the world, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Let the nations now rejoice,
Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout to the world,
saves, Jesus
saves, Jesus
saves, Jesus
saves.
Shout to the world, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout to the world, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that dost wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people.
Who is like unto the Lord Most High, who filled the seas and formed the skies, who walks upon the wings of the wind, whose thoughts no man can comprehend.
Through every generation wonders are displayed, from forming all creation to freeing those enslaved. God of wonders, who reigns victorious, God of wonders, enthroned in praise. All earth
has heard his mighty works of old, of Noah's flood, of Jericho, of taming mighty lions in the den, of Egypt's plagues, Goliath's hand.
Through every generation his wonders are displayed, from forming all creation to freeing those enslaved. God of wonders, who reigns victorious, God of wonders, enthroned in praise. All earth trembles before his presence, God of wonders, the ancient of days.
Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God.
From everlasting to everlasting, before the worlds were formed, he always has reigned.
Robed in all majesty, holding eternity, he is almighty, holy.
Shadows are falling, time marches on. Prophets are echoing, soon Christ will come. Looking into the heart of man, seeking his own, calling all of the faithful children, come home.
Listen to the trumpet, Jesus is coming. Listen to the trumpet, look to the sky. No more sorrow, no more night, only God's eternal light. Jesus is coming again.
Come, Lord, in majesty, from heaven's throne, shout for your saints to rise. Lord, take us home. Call us out of this world of sin. Come, Lord, today. Quickly, Jesus, come quickly. Take us away.
Listen for the trumpet. Jesus is coming. Listen for the trumpet. Look to the sky. No more sorrow, no more night. Only God's eternal light. Jesus is coming again.
No more sorrow. Is coming again. Jesus is coming again.
Jesus is coming.
Listen for the trumpet.
Last one here.
Going on before. Praise the Lord.
OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. We are live here. It is 2:17 p.m. Central Time. It is August 9th, 2024. And we are back again here for another broadcast. And I hope you're all doing well out there. Carl said he was slow, and I agreed with him, and he gets mad at me. What is the deal? It's like when AC/DC was singing "They're on the Highway to Hell," and I told people after the men died, that's where they went. They all got mad at me. I couldn't understand why they got mad at me. That's what they said. They were on the highway to hell. I only agreed with them. Right? See, Mary, why is he getting mad at me? He's the one that said he was a slow white guy. Right? I mean, what's up with that? Then he gets all hurt when I tell him I agree. Right? And Carl can't be happy if you hang him with a new rope. Right? Some guys can't be happy unless you hang him with, even if you do hang him with a new rope. You can say that about yourself. Of course you can. And I agree with you. But like Spurgeon said, we're all off a little bit, aren't we? That's what Spurgeon said. We're all off a little bit. I agree with him. We are all off a little bit. But that was hilarious. I was reading that in his book. I think it was Lectures to My Students, when he was talking about the minister's fainting fits, and he said we're all off a little bit. Ah, that's funny. Anyway, well, I hope you've had a good week so far. Let's see. I'm trying to think here. I think I actually lost almost 2 pounds this week. Huh? That's pretty good. That's like 25 pounds. Yeah, that's pretty good. So anyway, but I am going to eat. But tonight, Mandy is making homemade lasagna. And homemade baked bread. She's making homemade bread. Right? And strawberry rhubarb. What's that called? Strawberry rhubarb? I forgot what that thing's called she's making. What is it? Crumble, yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. Cobbler. Yeah. Thank you. Where'd this Grand Canyon cup come from? The Grand Canyon? Yeah, okay. Yeah, taking the other one back. I keep mounting them up here. All right, thank you. My wife brought me my water here because I need it. Yep, love you too. I got to keep everything, my throat lubricated there. I'm having fun when you give Carl a hard time. I know you do, Mary, and that's part of the reason I do it. Because if it can put a smile on your face after you laboring in love to love Carlos Montoya Espinoza, right? The Croatian desensation. Right? I mean, that's a miracle. You guessed it. The Croatian desensation. Tim. Anyway, all right. Do you like that? Do you like that one? Joe, I think you like that one, don't you? I actually did just think of something. right? I just thought of something with Joe here, and I thought Joe, seeing how it's been a while since I've been to Ireland, and I know how much you love potatoes, and I'm actually going to be frying some potatoes on Sunday for everybody at church for a bunch of leftover potatoes. I thought I'd play this for you.
I sure am ready for a home-cooked meal.
What are we having, Mr. O'Connor?
Dad said you always serve the same thing.
Oh, you're right, Patrick, me boy. We'll be having my specialty.
There's a vegetable that we all hold dear. We eat it every day of every year. With a texture fair and an odor rare. A taste so delicate beyond compare.
People like them hot, people like them cold. Some even like them when they're 6 weeks old. Cook them in a pot, serve them in a bowl. Bake them in the oven in a casserole. Casserole! If they're baked or boiled, if they're wrapped in foil, sliced in slivers and they're fried in oil. In this world below, it is good to know there's nothing better than an Irish potato.
It's true.
Potato chip goes with onion dip. It's yummy with a burger or a chicken strip. Throw away the rice, feed it to the mice. Give me mashed potatoes, oh, they're really nice.
Try a tater tot when it's nice and hot. Dip it in some ketchup or whatever you've got. Everybody buys crispy curly fries. If you're really hungry, make it super size. Super size.
Eat 'em when you're young, eat 'em when you're grown.
Eat 'em in a crowd or eat 'em all alone.
In this world below, it is good to know there's nothing better than an Irish potato. Irish potato, Irish potato. There is nothing better than an Irish potato. There is nothing better than an Irish potato.
There is nothing better than an Irish potato, 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 nothing better than an Irish potato.
I don't know what the deal is with the drum at the end of that, like you're in like the gong show or you're in China or something. I don't know what the deal with that was. But anyway, that was for Joe because, you know, I haven't played that for a long time for Joe. And I since it's, an open line Friday, it's pretty, everything is pretty much open and up to you. I mean, if you have something you want to talk about, the line is open and we can talk about it. And we will, but that potato song, Mary, we love your voice too, okay? All right, the Bible says make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all right? It's not your fault that Carl has really bad ears, okay? That's not your fault. Don't worry about that. It isn't your fault that Carl's ears don't work right. He listened to a lot of bad music for years, and after all, he did sing Pavarotti songs for like 20 years. So when you're Mr. Pavarotti, since you're in diapers, that's you grow accustomed to loving operas and, all kinds of other squirrely type of music. Right? That's why. Well, it's not true because the Bible says it is a joyful noise unto the Lord, right? Look at this. Make a joyful noise. See, I said we were going to be in the Psalms. Look, Psalm 66:1. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Psalm 81:1. Look at that, seven times. Seven times, make a joyful noise. Make a joyful, seven times in the King James Bible. I didn't even plan that. Look at that. The first time, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Psalm 81:1, sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Psalm 95:1, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Psalm 95:2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. So look at that. It says here that you're to come before his presence with thanksgiving, being thankful, and you're to make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Make a Psalm 98:4, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. So you see, Mary is making a loud noise. It says here, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. So she's only obeying God. She's making a joyful noise and she's making a loud noise. Right? See? That's what it says. That's all she's doing. There it is. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Psalm 98, verse 6. With trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord. Psalm 100, verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Isn't that interesting? Every time make a joyful noise is in the Bible, it's in the Psalms. Seven times. Seven times make a joyful noise is in the Psalms. You know, the Psalms are both medicine and joy, right? They're both medicine for the sorrowful. Right? The Psalms are medicine for the spirit, for the soul of man. And God gave us those Psalms for that purpose. The Psalms, what they do is, the Psalms show the entire life of the saint. The Psalms show the entire light of the Christian, His ups, his downs, his rejoicing, his sorrow, his suffering, his pain, all of it. So the Psalms are always broken down into different sections. And over the last less than 24 hours, it would be like 16, 17, 18 hours, I think I read about, see, where did I stop? Oh, it didn't stop there. I read about 21 Psalms. I read about 21 of them. Pinky Sue asked Hannah, how do you keep up with Coolio and all the children? Actually, you got it wrong. How do I keep up with her? That's the question you should be asking yourself. How do I keep up with her? Right? Anyway. But the Psalms are, they're meant for the soul of the man, for reflection, for meditation, for strength, for encouragement, for walking with God. That's what God gave them to us for. They're a reflection of the life of a Christian. You know, what a Christian will go through in this life. That is wonderful news. Ross Duncan says, greetings, brethren. Make a joyful noise of the Lord with me. My operation was 100% successful. Praise the Lord. The surgeon said I can resume preaching next week. Amen. That is wonderful news. Praise the Lord. God is good to us. Praise the Lord. Brother Ross will be back to preaching. And we'll be rejoicing to hear him out there in the open air, lifting up his voice as a trumpet. Amen. Exciting. So we praise the Lord for that. And make a joyful noise. Amen. Look forward to that. Maybe someday, man, I'm telling you, there's like, maybe someday in the near future, I make it back to Scotland. Yeah. Maybe so. I would, there's a lot of places I'd like to go, okay? One of those places, I want to take my wife to England, for sure. Well, not right now, because England looks really nasty, so hopefully it's better. I'd like to go to Scotland. Scotland! There's a few places I'd like to go. But I have to make sure it's the Lord's will. I have to. Pinky Sue said, I'd like to hear a man speak well of his wife. Well, let me tell you something. And I'm sure I've said this before on more than one occasion. But outside of eternal life in Christ, there is nothing better and no greater gift than God has given me on this earth and my wife. And I absolutely believe that 100%. That is the absolute truth. The Bible talks about that. Whoso find, Proverbs 18:22. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Amen. I believe that. I hope you do about your wife. But I absolutely do believe that. Okay. I sure am, Fabian. I know that to be true. Absolutely. Okay. I want you to turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 3. You know, there's medicine in these Psalms. There's medicine for the soul in these Psalms, and God has given them to us. Yeah. Right. Hannah said, yeah, but you hate women, Pastor. Yeah. Yeah. Baffles the mind. Psalm chapter 3. I know it is. I went over there and me and Carl couldn't stop laughing. Look at that female cop. You can't do that here. This is our patch. You have to go down to that patch. You can't do that here. And the English people, they're so nice. They're so nice. This black English guy, he was like, he was so nice. He just kept looking at me. He was like, that's our patch. You can't do that here. You have to go down there. It's just so nice. I was like, really? I'm like, yeah. She's like, yeah, you can't. You can't do that here. I'm like, okay. They're so nice, they made me feel bad. I was like, okay, I better move. They're so nice. Me, I'm this loud American, you can hear all the way across London. Like George Whitefield talking, a preaching. You can hear me all across London. You can't do that here. And then me and Carl almost got ran over by the guard. Remember Carl? Harry's like, you Americans, you have no respect. Oh, man. They're marching. They got a stinking M16, and I'm standing there, and I'm like right in line watching them do the changing of the guard, and I almost get ran over, and I look over at Carl, and Harry's like, you Americans. Oh, that was good. Man, that was good. I'll never forget that. Oh, that was funny. For real, though, they do have good tea over in England. Like, that's not a joke. Those people know how to make a cup of hot tea. They just do. But nowhere I've been has orange juice like I had in Italy. And the pastries in Italy... And the orange juice in Italy. Oh, my goodness. And the espresso. Carl, am I wrong? The espresso in Italy. I'm not wrong, am I, Carl? Oh, my goodness. I want to go back to Europe. It was so good. Anyway. But that's not why I want to go back to Europe, because I really didn't eat that much when I was there. You can ask Carl. I ate like a bird. But, Carl, you can't laugh about... Carl walks right past this English woman and burps right in her face like some stinking barbarian. But he burped. Oh, my. She looked like him, like he was Captain Caveman. I'm constantly looking at Carl. I'm like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do with this guy? Oh, man. I was laughing. I was laughing because it was fun. I couldn't believe you did that. And then I watched her and I was like, oh my goodness. I wouldn't worry about getting beat up in England by the English ladies, but oh, okay. Well, let me put it this way, Pinky Sue. I didn't eat that much food. I didn't eat that much at all. In fact, I came back and I had lost weight from being over there. But that has something to do with the fact that they have real food in Europe and everything we eat is fake over here. That's true. Anyway, that's another story for another day. But Psalm chapter 3. You know, the Bible has a lot to speak about sleep. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. So, you know, I think I'll show you this Bible that I have here. Let me put me in the wide shot here. Okay. So, Scott bought me this Bible like 5 or 6 years ago, maybe. It's a note-taking Bible in a big 4-ring binder. No, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5-ring binder. Let me tell you something. I don't mess around with that 3-ring binder stuff, okay? It's intense. 5-ring binder stuff right here, bro. None of that 3-ring binder stuff. That's for women's. That's for the women's. Okay. All right. But I'll tell you what, if I go over to Europe and I intermittent fast over there when I'm there, oh my goodness, I'll probably lose another 10 pounds, 20 pounds over there, probably 10 pounds. So anyway, this 5-ring binder with the Bible has sections for writing notes. Okay? And then it has sections on the side for that, and it has note-taking things that you could put, and I have a whole, I don't know where they are. I think Micah has them, and Micah was supposed to be digitizing them. But if he doesn't, I'm going to pray that the fleas of 1,000 camels infest his underarms. Hold on a second. Oh, Priscilla did this for me. I forgot about that. Priscilla put this book together for me. Brother Andrew's daughter, Priscilla, of my New Testament notes. Now, a lot of these are from my depression days. Yeah. So anyway, this is a 3-ring binder. But the Bible goes in a 5-ring binder. Right? But notice, a lady gave me a 3-ring binder. Makes sense, right? So, anyway. So, it's good to take note. Now, there are sometimes you're just going to read the scriptures. There are other times in your life where you're going to be more devotional because sorrow is going to pull out of you. God's going to use sorrow to pull things out of the scriptures, it makes you sensitive. Sorrow makes you sensitive to the things of God as a Christian. And God's going to use it to pull out of you what is necessary. And how he wants to speak to your soul. So Psalm chapter 3. Many there be that which say of my soul, right? He said, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. See, the Psalms are very reflective. They're also good to pray. You pray these Psalms. These are the meditations of our heart at many times. The trials and the challenges. Whatever, I will tell you this, and I mean this upon the authority of Scripture, what the Bible says this. Okay. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. This book truly furnishes you. Not thoroughly, truly. There's a difference in those two words. Truly furnished unto all good works. That the man of God may be perfect. That word perfect means mature. Truly furnished unto all good works. And to give you instruction in righteousness and to correct you, to instruct you. But notice it is first profitable for doctrine. All through the scriptures we see that doctrine is first, then practice. Don't miss Wednesday night's sermon. Let me see. I haven't titled it yet on here. But it's right here. Wednesday evening's preaching. Okay. Look at that look right there. Wednesday evening. Let's see. It was called... I have to go look at my title because I forgot it. It's because I didn't sleep that well last night, but that's okay. Oh, therefore. That's right. It was one word. You listened to that sermon, Andrea? Good for you. Therefore, God's promises... our practice. So in Ephesians chapter 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul covers doctrine. He's mostly dealing with doctrine. 3 through 6, he tells you how to put it into practice. He's telling you how to put that all into practice. By the way, one of the finest commentary sets, and I don't agree with every word the man says. He's wrong sometimes. When any man corrects the Bible, he's wrong, period. And Lloyd-Jones can be wrong sometimes with his correction of the scriptures. But I will say, right? I will say that moreover, you making fun of purple? Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twine linen and blue and purple and scarlet. That purple right there, that temple, that tabernacle was a picture of Jesus Christ. And Jesus had purple. Right? And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Anyway, but the scriptures fully furnish us and give us everything. And doctrine is first. And after doctrine comes practice. The one thing I like about Martin Lloyd-Jones's commentaries is he is, you could tell he was a pastor for many years. Right? You could tell that he was a pastor for many years because of the practical way that he preaches. Amen. Let's see. God's promises, our practice. There we go. Otherwise, I'll just forget to do it. Anyway, I hope it helps you. We're finally in Ephesians chapter 4. It's a miracle, isn't it? Okay. Back to where we were at before. All scripture is given. So the Bible gives the doctrine, it gives the practice. That's important to understand. Anything that you're going through in this life, you can find in the book of Psalms. Anything. Doesn't matter what it is. Any trial. Because the Psalms are a picture of the entire life of a Christian. You had trouble sleeping? David had trouble sleeping. I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. And now I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Psalm 4:8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. He said, I will lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. There are people that are going through things. They're going through certain trials and tribulations, and they don't think they can find them in the Bible. Or they don't take the scriptures. I don't care what it is you're going through in this life, you need the scriptures. You need to take the scriptures. You need to, if you're going through heavy trials and tribulations and sorrows and pains and sufferings, you need to get in the Word of God. You need to get in the scriptures. You need to get in the Psalms. And you will find it there. You'll find it. You know, you have Psalm 4. There are many of the trials that we go through. For instance, you talk about maybe you're dealing with you're having thoughts about the world and the way that it's going. And like the New World Order. Okay. Well, turn to Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with the rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. See, that's a psalm of the New World Order. That's a psalm dealing with the New World Order. It's dealing with the coming kingdom of Antichrist. And how the Lord is going to come back and crush it. He's going to come back and deal with it. That's what God's going to do. See, take your answers from the scriptures, not from the latest YouTube video of the latest Illuminati exposed guys. Make sure it's the scriptures that you're using to define everything that's going on. You know, God sometimes, the Lord, uses the night to get a hold of us. Why? Because we're so busy listening to everything during the day that many times we don't take the time to hear God. So when God slows us down and it's at night and it's quiet, he says in Psalm 4:4, go there, Psalm 4:4. The Psalms are the medicine for your soul. Whatever ails you. Look at this. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Stand in awe of God. Sin not. And do a reflection on your own heart upon your bed. Look what verse 7 says. Or verse 6, there be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and wine increased. It is God that puts gladness in the heart. It is God that allows sorrow, and he sometimes puts sorrow in the heart. Brings us to a place of sorrow. Most of the time, we don't pay attention until there's some kind of sorrow. So God has these psalms here for us. They're written for our admonition, for our learning. That's why God gave them to us. Psalm 10. Sometimes you feel like God is afar off from you, that God is not near you. Look at Psalm 10. Why standest thou far off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. You see, as a Christian, every decision that you and I make, it is because God is in all our thoughts. The background of everything for the child of God is what saith the scriptures. What does God's word say? I don't live my life willy-nilly wondering what the will of God is and running around just not sure if I'm sinning or not in that sense. No, I read the scriptures. I know the scriptures. I follow them. And God is in all my thoughts. That doesn't mean that every thought I'm always focused on, you know, God or meditating on God. What it means is that my thoughts and my actions are weighed by what the scriptures say. I live my life by the scriptures and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit as a Christian. So then I'm careful about what I do, what I say, where I go, my actions, how they affect other people. I'm careful with that. That's right, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That's correct, Ross. So he says, why standest thou afar off? He felt as if God was afar off from him and his enemies were grieving him. This is the cry of the man or woman that loves the Lord, that goes through severe trials. They feel as if God is standing afar off. Then he goes on to describe the wicked man. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. See, the lost, they don't govern themselves according to the scriptures. They say, oh, I'm never going to be in adversity. That's never going to happen to me. So then the direct result of their actions, they don't care what they do to other people. So then he describes the wicked. Number one, he says his mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. This is a liar. Full of deceit, full of cursing, full of fraud. Under his tongue, that means he's hiding it, right? Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. It's all vain. Mischief. Vain mischief and vanity under his tongue. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself, and the poor may fall by his strong ones. He has said in his heart, God hath forsaken God, or God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. You know, different challenges, different things. How about let's turn to Psalm 11. Psalm 11. I listed here in some of my notes, I'll read you some of my notes that I took over the years. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. See, a lot of times when we're under attack, when we're going through trials, we want to fly away like a bird. We want to flee as a bird to your mountain. Not just get away from everything and everyone and withdraw ourselves completely. But we can't do that. Not at all. For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. And this verse we've preached on many times, a series on this. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I listed some of these foundations that Satan will attack. Number one, the Godhead or the Trinity. The Trinity. How many today do we see Satan attacking the Godhead and the Trinity? The deity, basically the deity of Christ is attacked today. Fiercely attacked. Fiercely attacked today. The gospel. My goodness, is the gospel ever attacked today? Always has been. Right? And it is under attack today. That foundation of the gospel, that foundation of the scriptures, the King James Bible. That foundation is attacked. Why? It's the authority. Satan attacks. The foundations are the authority. And Satan attacks the authority. That's what he attacks. The church. The local New Testament church. The assembly of called out Bible believers. The Lord's church assembled together. Attacked. Absolutely attacked. The foundation of the church. It is absolutely attacked today. The family. The family is attacked. Husband and wife. Roles of the husband and wife. The genders are attacked. Right? We've talked about that in that Foundations Destroyed series. I think I've got 8 of them now. There'll be more coming. I think I'll do one on the Godhead, the Trinity, I'll do some on those probably in the future with that series. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous. Look what it says here in verse 5. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Okay, so you remember this. I want you to remember this very plainly. The Psalms teach us that God hates. That's what the Psalms teach us. There are things that God hates. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. His soul hateth. That's God's hatred right there. The Bible says that him that loveth violence, that's right, Brother Ross, whom he loveth, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Then are ye bastards and not sons, if you be without chastisement. That's why there's a bunch of little spiritual bastards running around. They're never chastened. They live like hell. They make phony professions. They're false prophets. They're apostates. I call them what they are, little bastards. Coming up at this Halloween capital of the world here, after we get past the state fair and all this other stuff, we'll be, you know, preaching again up at Anoka at the Halloween capital of the world. And we're going to be preaching outside of one of those LGBTQ churches. I'm going to look right at that guy and say, in God's eyes, you're a little bastard. And I'm going to read the verse to him and tell him, you false prophets are little bastards. You're not sons. That's why you're never chastened of God. Because you're little false professing bastards. See, that's some pretty strong language, preacher. It sure is. But nothing but a strong voice will wake them out of their sleep. You know, you ought to hate the fact that those men are leading people to hell more than you do the sharp language of God's preachers. See, you don't see it as ugly as we do. We see them as like soul destroyers. We see them devour widows' houses. We see him destroy families and children and everyone else, cutting off their genitals and giving them hormone therapy. Doing drag queen shows, dancing provocatively, naked in front of children. I had a pastor get mad at me when he saw my video of that old nasty granny taking, going into that, whatever that was, ELCA church or whatever it was. I don't remember what it was. That lady's like, don't you ever breathe? I'm like, nah. Taking little children in there. Bragged about the fact that she turned her two boys into fruits. She bragged about it. So what did I do? Is not my word like a hammer? I dropped a hammer on her. I took the spiritual sword, which is the word of God, and I slew her with it. Amen. It's a lot better than what's coming for them, isn't it? What's coming for them? Verse 6. Look at verse 6. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. Yeah, I know. That preacher told you that I got in the flesh because I said that to her. Really? I wonder if Paul got in the flesh when he said this. Look at Acts chapter 13. Verse number 8. But Elymaeus the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost. What? He was full of the Holy Ghost? Set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Wow. You think Paul was in the flesh? No, it actually says he was filled with the Spirit when he said that. You see that? It says Paul filled with the Holy Ghost. You realize I'm standing outside. I'm literally standing outside of a church that is perverting children with drag and confusing children with drag queen story hour. Right? Right? I'm not in a Sunday school class, right? Like, you get the people that we're preaching to, right? Okay. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. So I wrote these notes down here on the side. The Lord trieth the righteous. Number one, God's people will be tried in their faith. A, they'll be tried in the light. B, they'll be tried in the dark. C, they'll be tried in desertions. D, They'll be tried in prosperity. E, they'll be tried in poverty. F, they'll be tried in sickness. G, they'll be tried by persecutions. H, they'll be tried by afflictions. I, they'll be tried by death. God trieth the righteous. Our faith must be tried. Otherwise, it is worthless faith that is no better than the faith of the devils. Right? We must be tried. Very important to understand those things. Let's see. Let's do another one here. I hope you're learning something from these notes and just kind of open commentary on the scriptures. I hope you are. I hope it's... Actually, Psalm 13. Let's turn there. That's right, Aaron. They were pole dancing that time and having children stuff money in their underwear. Psalm 13. One verse in particular that spoke to me at the time that the Lord used. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Light mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. See, David was concerned. David didn't want to waffle under his persecution. David was concerned that he didn't get moved away from faithfulness. When the Bible speaks of moving, being moved, it means being moved away from faithfulness. Whoops. That's what it means. Paul said, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the great gospel, the grace of God. Paul was not wanting to be moved. David was not wanting to be moved. We're told, Paul warns us twice. Once. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Steadfast, straightforward, always marching, unmovable, not being moved away from faithfulness. That's what David is talking about in that psalm. David, lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. When I'm stopped being faithful, they're going to rejoice and say, look what happened to him. It's the same idea that Paul gives in Ephesians 4. He talks about the church, and we're going to get to that in Ephesians. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Remember, that's a mature man. Under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So again, Paul is carrying the same thought that Psalm 13 does. Lord, don't let me be moved away from faithfulness. Lord, don't let me be moved away from what's right. Right? Don't let me be moved from that. All right, let's play this song here. We'll play a song here, take a break for a minute, and then we'll get right back into Psalms.
Yeah.
Amen. All right, back into it here. And we just were looking at Psalm 13. And we're going to move on here to Psalm 17. David is asking God to hold him up in Psalm 17. Go back this way. Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. It's important that you understand what words mean, not that you assume that you know what they mean, but that you actually know what they mean, how they're used in English. I'm not talking about Greek. I'm not talking about anything else. I'm talking about English or Hebrew. I'm not talking about Hebrew. I'm talking about English. That word feigned, it means imagined or assumed, invented. Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. He's not imagining, he's not devising things. He's serious about it, right? In verse 3 says, Thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me. David said that God had visited him in the night. That means that he communed with God at night. When no one else is around, when he couldn't sleep, when he was troubled, he went to the Lord. He communed with him at night. He spent time with God in the night watches. God proved him. God tried him. God visited him. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. David said, God has tried him to see what was in his heart. Concerning the works of men, I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. You know, that slipping has to do with stumbling. So David's using a metaphor of walking. Like Paul says in the New Testament, Paul says, walk in the Spirit. What's he saying? The same thing that David is saying here. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. David didn't want to slip or stumble into sin. He didn't want to slip off the path. He was concerned with slipping off, backsliding, losing his footing. David said, hold up my goings in thy paths. Let my steps be ordered by the Lord, is what David is saying. So he doesn't fall. David is concerned with slipping up. You know what? There ought to be a time. You ought to be able to relate to this. There ought to be a time in your life when temptations come very strongly and you're very concerned. You're very concerned that you could be taken in sin, or you don't want to be. Right? And you're concerned about that. You know, you're definitely concerned of that. That you not be taken and destroyed. That you not backslide. There ought to be a time that you can relate to that. David asked God, show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. From who? From the wicked that oppress me. David wanted to be hid from the wicked that oppress him, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. And we should desire to have God's eyes constantly upon us, where God is hiding us and protecting us in the shelter of his wings, right? That should be our desire. That we desperately want the Lord to keep us and protect us. And we have to pray to that end. And you can see that that's not, those are prayers that are biblical prayers. Then we're going to move on to Psalm 18. Now, I've preached on Psalm 18 and done broadcasts and everything on that. So they're out there. Let me see here. Oops. Let's see. See if this is working yet. It is, yay. From darkness, Satan's most dangerous disguise, light rising in the darkness, depression and desertions. I know I have light through dark trials. Maybe it's that one. Children of light, not children of the night. You know, I don't know where it is, but I know that I've preached on that chapter. I know I have. I don't know where it is, though. But it might be in the depression series. Let's see if it is. Let's see. I'm looking. That's a good one, by the way. Richard Baxter's Diagnosis and Directions for the Depressed Christian. That's a good one. That's a good book if you don't have it, too. That's a good book, too. Wow, I did a bunch of book reviews, didn't I? Let's see. Yeah, I don't see it. I know I did something on it, though. Oh. Don't know where it is. But anyway, Psalm 18. Or maybe I have the notes and I never used them? Methinks that could be a possibility. Psalm 18. I want you to notice something about David here. Anytime you're troubled in mind and heart, anytime you have these trials, you need to go to the Psalms and you need to look at how David references God. and then use those same references and prayers for yourself. Because that's how David does it, right? David uses that. It is how David references the psalm, or references God. And it is very important that you understand how to do that, really. You know, that you would you'd be successful. So turn to Psalm. Let's see. I'm going to. Let me just, I'm going to change this here. There we go. Okay, anyway. Psalm 18. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Look what David calls him. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. David calls God his strength. Then he says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. These are all things that David needs from God. He says, and my God. And again, he says, my strength. In whom I will trust, my buckler. A buckler is a shield. It's a defensive armor. He says, and the horn of my salvation. And my high tower. So you have one, my strength. Two, my rock. Three, my fortress. Four, my deliverer. Five, my God. Six, my strength. Seven, my buckler. Eight, my salvation. Nine, my high tower. Those nine, what are they? That's the fruitfulness, right? The fruit of the Spirit. That number nine is the number of fruitfulness. David ascribes nine things. Nine things that David ascribes to the person of God. By the way, incidentally, those are nine things that David needs from God. They are things that God, they describe who God is, God's strengths, but also that they're what he's, these are the things that God, David needs God to do for him, to be his rock, or to be his strength, to be his rock, to be his fortress, to be his deliverer, to be his God, to be his strength again, to be his buckler, his shield, to be the horn of his salvation, to be his high tower. David needs God to be all those things for him. It says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. David was full of sorrow, even the sorrow of death. And he felt as if the floods of ungodly men, he felt as if that these men, that he would drown in his affliction. Have you ever felt that way? Like this affliction that you'll drown in it, this trial that you're in right now, that you'll drown in it. You ever felt that way? Well, you're not alone. And Christians have felt that way before. It's not new. Then he gets a little bit deeper into it. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. The sorrows of hell. Whew. Not only the sorrows of death, but the sorrows of hell. David felt like he was going to hell. His sorrow was so great, he felt like he was hellbound, like he was a lost sinner. He was surrounded by them. He felt like he was in hell. You ever felt that way? See, I think a lot of people, you know, I think it's interesting because I know preachers and pastors in their trials that have left the ministry, left their wife, ran away, pastors' wives that have run away and all those things. And I think some of them, well, all of them, but a number of them could have been avoided had they looked and seen in the scriptures that there hath no temptation taken them, but such as is common to man. That they would see that these are trials and tribulations that other men have went through. That some of God's choicest men and women have went through. And God sustained them through it. But they got very afraid because they had never experienced anything like that before. They've never been through that before. So they thought there must be something more wrong with them than what actually was. I've heard of it. I mean, men and women both with midlife crisis, as they call it. There's, you know, I will say this. The one thing I've seen, you know, somewhere around the 40-year mark, could be later, could be a little earlier, a lot of times later, it could be a little later. I've seen, you know, normal changes that come upon, you know, changes that come upon a man or a woman at that time. And a lot of times those changes bring about a bunch of sorrow, a bunch of reflection, increased sorrow, fear. and a desire seemingly to break the chains that are around them and run. And go do something that they'll regret later. And I've seen it. I've actually seen it happen on a number of occasions, and people almost destroy their marriages, their homes, their families, their churches. Because they didn't see those things in the Christian life, and their pastor didn't preach on those things. No one ever taught them that Christians can get depression. No one ever taught them that there's physical changes in their bodies and hormonal changes in their bodies that can affect the way they feel and their decision-making and everything else. Like, they're not used to it. They never heard anybody preach on it before. So to them, it's like crazy and like just really crazy stuff. Young people, teenagers can do that too. There's certain hormonal changes that come upon young teenagers. And, you know, they begin to think that there is something seriously wrong with them. They get afraid. And they do something foolish. They seek answers somewhere else. And they hurt their testimony, they hurt their parents, they hurt their lives. And why is that? Because they did not understand what was coming over them. But if you read the scriptures and you looked in them, and especially these Psalms, you would see that a lot of men felt abandoned by God. A lot of men felt scared. A lot of women felt scared. A lot of them were full of fear. A lot of them felt like they were lost sinners, even though they were saved. A lot of them felt horrible. But God would sustain. If they just read the scriptures, they would see. The answers are right there. They're in the Psalms for times of sorrow, times of rejoicing, times of death, times of life, times of trials, times of afflictions, times of rejoicing. Times of love and sorrow. Joy, peace, all of those different seasons of life are in the Psalms. All the seasons of life are in the Psalms. All of them are. And we just, you know, maybe I'll do another broadcast down the road on more of these Psalms. I have a ton of notes on these. On really using these Psalms for God's glory and using these Psalms to help in your life, to grow you and to help you, and to be the medicine that you need when it's necessary, when you need it. You know, but David is ascribing all of these things to God. The sorrows of hell compass me about, the snares. And David goes back to who God is. By the way, as a Christian, whenever you're in trouble, and you feel as if you're in trouble spiritually, or you feel as if God is far from you, you need to always go back to who God is and what God is. God is holy. And you go back to how the scriptures define who God is. Because everything in this world changes. God said, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Paul said it in the New Testament, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. that's to strengthen you that there are some that God is immutable and he does not change. His nature never changes. The God of the Old Testament is the same as the God of the New Testament. His nature never changes. He's holy. Now, he might change in his dealings with man because he was dealing with Israel. And then he deals with the church in the New Testament. So there's a difference in the two. And Christ coming and dying on the cross for sinners changed everything. Changes everything. Okay. Does. And we ought to remember that. But God in his nature doesn't change. And the Psalms show us that. The Psalms show us who God is. And we rejoice in that. Amen.
Thy path, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, with all thine heart, trust in the direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord. In all thy ways, in all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord.
Amen, everybody. God bless you. And I hope you learned something today. Pray for our ministry. No preaching on Saturday this weekend. Next Friday, though, a week from today, we'll be preaching outside of the Metallica concert. So, pray for us and that the Lord would bless that. That's a week from today. All right. And then Sunday morning, we'll be broadcasting live from out here at my home. And we'll be holding our services out here. So you pray for us that that would go well, and we'll broadcast. And we'll broadcast live from here Sunday morning message, okay? And, you know, so you, and maybe I'll broadcast the music too. We'll see. I don't know how that goes with the audio, but we'll see, because we're going to play instruments out here and all that good stuff. So you pray for those things, all right? And pray for everybody's health to get better. We got Pastor Jeffrey coming in a month, and we need everybody to be healthy. It's about a month away. So you pray that everybody gets healthy, that all would go well with that, with Pastor Jeffrey. And looking forward to preaching with him and exciting things ahead. Amen. So you pray for him and pray for his ministry. All right, everybody. And if you'd like to give to our ministry, you may do so. Number one, pray for us. Number two, you may give through PayPal, salvationpreacher@gmail.com. That's salvationpreacher@gmail.com. The second way to give is through Venmo, PastorCooley@iCloud.com, or through Cash App, Apple Pay, or you can mail something. The address is 1030 South Highway 3, Northfield, Minnesota, 55057. Okay? And you can mail something there. Praise the Lord. All right. I hope it's a blessing to you. God bless you all. Take care. We'll see you again soon.